Just praise the Lord. Just thinking about the message and the music today. Are you thirsty? Are you needy? Behold our God. Come to Jesus Christ, the living waters. Our need-meeting God. And just when I survey the cross and just the blessing, worship the King. They dovetail well with the message and my devotions today as well. So today, motives, if you did not get a handout, you're welcome to go grab one. They're out there in the foyer. There's also a little devotion on the back that dovetails with things too. So good to have the kids with us today up here, no junior church. So aren't you glad there's kids in our church? Praise the Lord for that as well. This message is for me. I hope it's a blessing to you, but it's for me. It's always the case, isn't it? We all need Jesus. How to deal with loss. Not just talking about, though so many recently have lost loved one through physical death, but there are other forms of loss as well, right? How to deal with loss. How to deal with challenges. How to deal with change. How to deal with this earthly temporal life. And not just to deal with it, but to deal with it in a way that's pleasing to God. A tall order, for sure. We need help. And God supplies that help. So, quick, what's on your heart and mind right now? My wife says a cough drop. Thank you for that. For some of us, like my wife, maybe nothing but a cough drop on our hearts right now. That can be a blessing, that there is nothing pressing. Maybe health issue, if you think about a cough drop. For others of us, something maybe definite already rose to the top of your heart and mind. Maybe others know. Certainly God knows. Maybe others don't know. Maybe it's a burden that right now you are bearing yourself. Or maybe it's a blessing right now that's like, wow, if this comes to pass, that'll just be awesome. Maybe something rises to the top like a relationship concern, spouse, child, parent, friend, work situation, health, as we mentioned before, finances. It could be something that is encouraging, that you're looking forward to, something that we would call positive, or it could be something that is discouraging, that is negative, at least from our limited perspective, which we'll talk about. Or you may be thinking, there are so many things on my heart and mind right now that I just am overwhelmed and can't even pinpoint one. So probably you fall into one of those categories. So let's pray. Our Father, Lord, in this assembly today, there are a great many hopes and dreams, concerns, and things on our hearts and minds. And Father, we come today, and we want to say corporately that we trust you because you are always trustworthy. But Lord, we struggle. And so, Father, we ask for your help specifically, personally, as well as corporately, that you would help us not to just get through life, but to be effective, godly, to be growing, to be more like our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen. On Monday and Tuesday, Pastor Josh and I went to a pastor's retreat. The name of the speaker was Ted Tripp. If you're familiar with shepherding a child's heart, child rearing and young folks are near and dear to my heart, probably to all of our hearts. But if you don't have that book, we're glad to buy it for you. Just went out on a limb there. Good book. This is the best book, the Bible. But he's the author of that. And he is the brother of Paul Tripp. I get them confused, but probably won't anymore since I got to hear him in person. One of the main verses we studied was from 2 Timothy 4, and I balked at preaching on it, frankly, but this is the way the Lord led. But if you'd open up to 2 Timothy, Pastor Josh is on 1 Timothy, going through that verse by verse, but we're just going to do a topical today. And before we get to 2 Timothy chapter 4, let's go to chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. 2 Timothy 4, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my what? My dearly beloved son. You know, sometimes we gloss over these things. Boy, you want to pray right with God? Pray scripturally. Grace, mercy, and peace. That's a good thing to pray, to write to someone. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. So here we have this letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy. And if we think about that a little bit, Paul is at the end of his earthly life. So this is his farewell and final instructions to his, what I tried to call attention to his dearly beloved son, Timothy. Now, you know, there are letters and there's talk, and then there are letters and talk. And this would be the latter. There's something special, something almost sacred, precious about when you know the end of a person's life is imminent and when they make a point to communicate with you. And frankly, when we make a point to communicate with them, sharing not just about things that are not bad, you know, the football game, the weather, the whatever, but things that will matter for all of eternity. And so, as we get to 2 Timothy 4, and just take a look at verse 1, and we'll be jumping around a little bit to some others, but our main verse here is 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1. And Paul, writing to Timothy, says, I charge thee, therefore, number one, before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, number two, who shall judge the quick and the dead, and number three, at his appearing and his kingdom. It is true that old preacher Paul is writing to young preacher Timothy. That is what is the setting here, the context, if you will. So, if you're not a preacher, you're dismissed. Well, we're going to talk about that. So, thank you for not leaving. You know, whether we are aware of it or not, even for folks who are preachers by way of vocation and God's call, whether we are aware of it or not, we are all preaching something all the time. Probably the most important place that we preach is with our lives, as well as our lips, every day in our homes. The battle for the home, the battle for our heart, in our minds, to be growing to be like Christ. Philippians 3 will not turn there. So while correct interpretation here is old preacher Paul communicating with young preacher Timothy, yet ultimately it was God communicating to Timothy, right? Yes, all scripture given by inspiration of God. He was communicating to Timothy, charging him about preaching, about shepherding, and God giving Timothy God's omniscience, all knowledge, not just about what's coming up, but about Timothy, better than Timothy knew himself, and giving him guidance. And you know, we have that precious privilege to hold it in our devices, in our hands, to listen to it. What an amazing privilege. And God is charging Timothy and using Paul to do so about preaching and shepherding, giving him omniscience, all knowledge about the biblical motivation for preaching and shepherding, which is really the biblical motivation for all of life.
And 2 Timothy 4 is God communicating to us and preserving for us and for all of God's people with an application for our own preaching and shepherding for all of our lives. I charge thee therefore. Okay. And, you know, we kind of joke about therefore, all right, referring back to verses that come before. So let's go back to chapter 3 now. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. And then we'll drop down to the end of chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Well, we're living them, brothers and sisters, aren't we? Perilous times, we are in the last days. And this is not a message on that. But just to get an idea a little bit about what has come before as God is using Paul to charge Timothy and us by way of application here. So you think about that verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. We think of arrogance, covetous, and all those kind of things. We're pretty familiar with this scripture. Drop down in chapter 3, if you will, to verse 14. And right before our text verse, our chapter 4, verse 1, in chapter 3, verse 14, God says this, but continue thou. I don't know about you, are you ever tempted to quit? Yeah, probably every week, right? Maybe. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Thank God for assurance, the word of God and spirit and God's people working in our lives. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And this verse that we all have memorized, all scripture, given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, that the child of God, children here today, not in junior church, that the woman of God, that we may be perfect. Talk about that just a little bit. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What does that mean? It means complete, mature, equipped to preach and shepherd biblically. And there's a charge. There's a responsibility. I think in our day, there's a shirking of responsibility. We don't like authority. We don't like folks being authorities over us, and sometimes we will not own the authority that is ours. I don't know about you, but when Wanda's mom passed away, it's like, guess what? We have no living parents anymore. We are now the patriarch and matriarch of our family. I really don't want to be that. How about it? But you are. So avail yourself. You realize folks have passed on that upheld you in prayer, were good examples, not perfect, but you know, but you are now in a position. And God is in charge of that as well. So continue thou, because some have finished the course, but we have not. Great privilege, great responsibility. So motives for life. Let's take a look at the three things here specifically, and then a little more. I charge you, number one, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Be motivated. Next week, we're going to have the Lord's Supper in the evening, I believe. This do what? In remembrance of me. That is great, Lord's Supper. And what are we doing at the Lord's Supper? We examine ourselves. We praise God. We thank God. We remember what he's done for us. But we, as Christians, we are testifying that right now we are walking in fellowship with him. You know, we're not just saved, but right now there's nothing between my soul and the Savior. That doesn't mean that we're not going to sin again, but it's like just kind of be still and know that he is God and revel in the fact that we're right with him, or if there's something that he brings to our mind that convicts us, we can confess it and receive forgiveness and partake worthily again, all because of the reminder that it's all because of Jesus, not because of any of our works. Be motivated by remembering the presence of God. Who he is. It is great to thank him for what he does, but I would encourage you to thank him just for who he is. It's kind of easier sometimes, thank you, because You know, thank you for this food. That's great. He supplies that. Thank you for safety. Thank you for da 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 da. And that is good and right. But who he is. And one of the things would be that he's omnipresent. Be motivated by remembering the presence of God. And it's always a two-edged sword, but I'd like to take a look at this one as compared to the second one, which both have positive and negative. I don't know if that's the right. Two-edged is the sword. But remembering the presence of God. Perfect God, both in position and practice. I mean absolute perfection. I'm not talking like mature that we just talked about a little earlier. I'm talking about absolute perfection. Not just in who he is, but what he does, what he doesn't do. What he says, what he doesn't say. And not just that, but his motive, his heart. And I'm challenged. How about you? These are his glories. If you confess sin, just praise him for the alternate. This week, one of the things I confessed was complaining. Oh, no more complaining in heaven. How about it? Snarkiness. How about it? You know, God is never snarky. God never complains. Those are his glories. I can't say that, but I can praise him for who he is. And yet he still loves me because he's love. Amazing mercy, grace. Be motivated by remembering the presence of God. Now, maybe it would be helpful. I was going to try and get this, but I didn't take the time, whatever. You ever see those cardboard cutouts of a person? You know, I thought I'd bring that up. It's like, we can just drag God around with us to be mindful. God's with me. God's with me when I've done something stupid. God's with me when I've been snarky. God's with me, and he's there. And he'll never leave me nor forsake me. And that's a blessing because, humanly speaking, how about us in our relationship with other people? I'm out of here. Give up on that one. We just came through. Can you believe it's the last Sunday in January? Stop. Be still. Slow down. Emmanuel, God with us. God for us. Be motivated by remembering the presence of God, the one who loves you more than anyone else, who knows you better than anyone, who is for you more than anyone else, who can enable you with divine omnipotence, who knows what's coming in your life, who can prepare you through the Word of God and the Spirit of God to meet that which you don't know is coming. Yes, practice the presence of God. Be still. And know that he is God, even in the midst of the storm. You say that cardboard cutout, that's crazy. Yeah, okay. God is a spirit and all, yes. But God, help us to remember that all that we say, all that we do, think, feel, is before God. And that kind of turns to, whew, sometimes in encouragement, it's like, yeah. Yeah. He knows all the negative, all the sin. So sometimes we have to say, cleanse thou me from secret faults, because I don't even know the depth of the depravity of my own heart. But God, you do, and you still love me. Thank you. He's always present to help, to enable, to lead, to empower, to encourage. Hold your finger here. Let's go to Psalm 114. Usually I read the Psalms on Sunday morning. The singing today here, my devotions, Pastor Josh is up here leading singing. I'm writing notes for the message, you know. It's always good to be prepared. But there's always more. And today, I was reading my devotions in Psalms, and particularly Psalm 114, if I can get it here. It's not Psalm 119, so I'll read the whole thing. Be motivated by remembering the presence of God. And isn't this just like God? To encourage, I'm really tired, Pastor Josh, to not, I'm always like, Lord, help it not to be about me. Some of the things we learned, you know. I don't want to call attention to me. So can I call attention to God working in my life to encourage me? This is the message to preach even this morning, my devotions. Psalm 114. When Israel went out, I love the word pictures here. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. Now look at this word picture. The sea saw it and fled. Now maybe, I hope you have a sanctified imagination. I like to think about that. The sea saw it and fled, like this sea just getting up and running away. That's a neat picture, all right? Some of the kids got it, all right? I love that. Jordan was driven back, and you know what he's talking about? These things, this is not Aesop's fables. This actually happened. We don't worship the sea, we worship the God who created the sea. And his omnipotence and his presence, and the mountains skipped like rams. I love it. Now, not when it's a tsunami and not when it's an earthquake and all that, but God is in control, even in those things. The mountain skips like rams, and the little hills like lambs. And I love verse 5. What ailed thee, O sea? What ailed thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest, thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back? Ye mountains that ye skip like rams, and ye little hills, what's wrong with you that ye acted like little lambs? Verse 7. Tremble thou earth at what? The presence of the Lord. Does not God's word say that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge? How about the verse? Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. As a whole, the world, our country, has not been growing in that. Where's the trembling? I was talking to son Tom this week, and they're moving in this weekend, and praise the Lord for that. And he was saying, you know, Dad, he said about, he's always talking about starting a church because their community doesn't have one. And he's, you know, time like that when you're having all kinds of things going on, and maybe that'll happen. That'd be great. But he said, the word that comes to my mind that seems to be missing is reverence. Where is the trembling before God? And that kind of leads us into the next thing from 2 Timothy 4. But let me just finish here. Tremble thou earth at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. You know, you can tremble in fear, but you can tremble in awe as well. Because without killing, maybe an overused term, our God truly is awesome. He is awe-inspiring. He is full of wonder. He is God, which turned the rock into standing water, the flint into a fountain of waters. So going back to 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, be motivated by remembering the presence of God. But secondly, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. Testimony years ago in this church that someone was trying to give a word of testimony, and all I said was the word judgment. And God used it. And I don't remember the whole testimony. And there's a positive and negative to this too, isn't it? I'm not talking for the Christian, for Timothy. We're not talking about the judgment of sin, because that was accomplished in full by Jesus Christ on the cross. They were all paid for. So in this case, what we're talking about, being motivated by remembering that this God of gods will judge you for our works, whether there will be loss or gain of rewards, the judgment seat of Christ. And when I hear judgment, I'm kind of like, ugh. At the thing they asked about, broke up, forced you. We were all preachers, so we couldn't be snarky and complain, at least outwardly. All right, count off by five. Because you're probably sitting next to folks you want to be with and are comfortable with, but we're going to get you with some folks you're going to share your heart. Well, we're going to try and help you to do that. About what you learned from the message and some prayer requests that you've got. It made me uncomfortable. I really do like sitting in the back seat. Singing was phenomenal. But what I shared is... You know, I wrote down this thing about the old man, the young man. I couldn't help thinking about me and Pastor Josh. He's the old one, I'm the young one. You're not supposed to laugh at that. No. I don't want to just be busy. I want to be effective. And I know we all have that, but it's like as you get older, you realize time is running out. I don't want to waste time. Time is life. Life is Jesus Christ. That's a precious gift. He will judge the quick and the dead. It doesn't mean that we cannot. God giveth us richly all things to enjoy. We can enjoy temporal things. We should. But focus, priorities. Remember that the people you shepherd will also stand before God. Our influence, our preaching. They being dead yet speak. God's not done yet, even if we pass, when we pass, or are raptured. I think about children, siblings, brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow students, co-workers, praying for them by name, asking, seeking, knocking. God, help me at school today to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Help me to help the teacher. Help me to help my little brother. Help me to be a good example. Help me to love my wife as you love me. And thank you that she loves me in spite of who I am many times. Be motivated by remembering the presence of God, by remembering that this God of gods will judge you. I want to have crowns to cast at his feet. All glory to him. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing in his kingdom. Be motivated, number three, by remembering the second coming in God's kingdom. We are not promised tomorrow. God draws line in the sand, and it came to pass. Done! Some have experienced that with loved ones, even this past week. Done! It's done! There's no going back. And sometimes we have that even though we've not passed away, but we've moved the situation, you know, and God's never done. But for us, sometimes we have opportunities, and sometimes they're done. Be motivated by remembering the second coming in God's kingdom. The rapture could occur today. And if that happened, would you have regrets? Or are we being motivated by the reality that this age of grace will someday draw to a close? It will be too late. And every knee will bow and tongue confess, but some because God makes them. Now it's our opportunity and privilege. And as Christians, obviously, behold our God, bow before him. We have not because we ask not, or we ask amiss. God, I want to glorify you. I want to be effective for you. It's not about me. Our youngest son, Nathan, gave me the gift of a devotional book for Christmas last month. The title is New Morning Mercies. Great is thy faithfulness, and mercies new every morning. That's where it came from. And it's by Paul Tripp, the younger brother of the preacher, the pastor's retreat this past Monday. So I'm just tripping out here. And they would be the first to say, I don't worship them. We can follow others. They follow Christ. But none of us saved sinners follow Christ perfectly. So the ultimate is following Jesus. Anyway, yesterday morning, I was reading the devotional for the day and wanted to share a paragraph from it with you today that I thought dovetailed well with being motivated by remembering the second coming and specifically here, God's kingdom. So here's a quote. Here is grace. I don't have to work to be a king, and I don't have to carry the burdens of a king because I have been gifted with a king. In his kingdom, I am blessed with every good thing I will ever need. And in my welcome to his kingdom, I am included in something that will never, ever end. Why live this earthly life for what will pass away? Why give your searching heart to what can never satisfy? Why tell yourself that you know what you need when the one who created you knows better and has promised to deliver? Unquote. Let's be aware of getting too caught up in our own little kingdoms. So earthbound. And I realize we live here. And we haven't been to heaven, but Jesus came down from heaven and he knows. He's left us his spirit to indwell us and his word to guide us, and brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage us as well. But let's be aware of getting too caught up in our own little earthly kingdoms. Instead, let's be motivated by remembering the second coming in God's kingdom. Topical preaching is difficult sometimes because verses can be taken out of context and things, but one of the last things Brother Tripp said in this session was be sustained and maintain motivation ministry. And obviously he was preaching to a group of 70 preachers. But be sustained and maintain motivation ministry by 2 Timothy 4:1. Jesus is my model, In his incarnation, he experienced the same challenges, losses, changes, and temptations we experience. But one of his amazing glories, he without any sin, that makes him very different from us. Worthy to be worshipped, followed, and he can help us. And all the verses, such a blessing, but Hebrews 4:15, I'll just share it with you. For we have not an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet he without sin. Fourth point, and last one, be motivated by remembering that God never, what? Changes. He is immutable. And that actually was the genesis of this message. I'm just going to give some verses. I think I have them on the handout. If you want them, there's more out there. So I'm just going to read them kind of rapid fire. Hebrews chapter 1. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish. That's kind of a scary, but amazing thing. But it's they shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as dust of the garment. Here's another word picture. It's talking about the heavens. And as a vesture shall God fold them up. Wow. Our omnipotent God. And they shall be changed, but thou art the same. And thy years shall not fail. Actually, that was a blessing. I briefly go through Facebook to see the blessings. Sometimes there's prayer requests. And Lauren put that verse on this week. I thought, oh, that's good. Other verses, Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Oh, in our world, as you get older, it just seems like change comes more and more. It's like, blah. And not just technology, but your own body. Ugh, wow. It's a reminder. I change not, therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Malachi 3 and verse 6. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday for Jacob of old, today for us, and tomorrow, eternity future, the same. Here's another one, Hebrews 6, 13, 18. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability. That's the 59-cent word, he doesn't change. The immutability of his counsel. God's word does not change. Praise God for that. Conformed it by an oath, that by two immutable things which is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation. Here's the consolation. The Spirit of God is the comforter, and not just that, he's the empowerer. And we're not in a bad place when we realize that we can't, but God can. He can use a donkey, and he can use me, and he gets all the glory. God is unchanging, unchangeable, unalterable. His counsel, his word, his spirit, his purpose and character, always the same. A little bit of a lengthy conclusion. Hopefully not confusion, but conclusion. Challenges and changes. In our sin-cursed world, these challenges and changes are a constant in our lives. I was going to give another devotion about Job. I've been reading Job, started to read that. But anyway, most of you know that story. I think of the Apostle Paul, challenges, changes, trials, difficulties, loss. King David, Job, Esther, we're going to end with her in an illustration in just a minute. Jesus Christ, you and me, we could go down the rows. Challenges, trials, loss, excitement, all kinds of things represented here today. By the youngest, by the oldest. You know, it's good to know about the challenges that people who are recording the Bible faced and how they dealt with them. That's great. God has preserved that for us. But you know, we're not them. So it's there for us for admonition and good examples. Sometimes of what to do and sometimes good examples of what not to do or to be. And it's good to be aware of challenges people face who are our loved ones, friends, neighbors, and seek to be of help as the Lord leads and empowers. But we need to know this. Whatever challenges and changes you are facing right now, you specifically, which is why I said, okay, right now, think of something. What's on your heart or mind? You know, that we started out like that. It's good to know that whatever you are facing, they are tailored by God, the God of gods, to grow you and to glorify God. They are designed by God to be exactly what you need in order to mature in your walk with God. Jeremiah 29, I think there's a good application here, 11. But I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, an unexpected by God. God gives us hope, biblical hope. Be motivated by God who allows things in our lives to grow us, to mature us, to draw us to Him, to draw us back to Him, and back and back and back. As our bent, even as saved folks, we're saved sinners. That flesh is not eradicated yet. Continue to draw us back to Him, not just for salvation from spiritual death, but to draw us to Him for progressive sanctification, Sunday school. Going through that. Discipleship. For the abundant life in Jesus Christ. The fruit of the Spirit of God. That which is not natural, but Holy Spirit wrought. In this sin-cursed world. Romans 8:28 is indeed true. That's the little devotion on the back of your handout there. God is always at work, working simultaneously for our good and His glory. You know, that's just not a nice saying. And do you know that one of the last things I wrote before coming up here is when Pastor Josh read from Deuteronomy 6, and it said, I should go and look at it, but it talks about for our good always. It is good to have that rock-solid foundation. Lord, in my limited, finite knowledge, what you've allowed is for my good, but I don't see it. In my humanity, I don't like it. If I could change it, I would, but I cannot. So trust the Lord with all your heart, right? Lean not to your understanding. Acknowledge. I'm acknowledging God. By faith, this is for my good. So you've got me in this situation. Good prayer request. Lord, help me to glorify you in this. Help me to respond, not in my flesh, but in the Spirit. Help me to fulfill the purpose for which you've allowed this in my life. Because you're the master designer. That's not a baby prayer request, is it? How to deal well with life. Jesus Christ is life, John 14, 6. Keep coming to Jesus who is God. Let me encourage you, you're here today. Corporate worship. Personal times with God. I really appreciated Ted Tripp talking about family Bible time. And just the testimony of line upon line, precept upon precept. Deuteronomy 6, again, if you will. We come to God through His Word, through His Son, through His Spirit, through fellowship with His people, through worship, through prayer. I'm also reading 1 Peter 1, 24 to 25. I'll just read it to you. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But, what? The word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word by the gospel is preached unto you. What are we preaching? Who are we shepherding? Change can be exciting and immediately positive, or change from our limited perspective can be overwhelming and negative. When your situation is overwhelming and negative, go to God. When your situation is exciting and positive, go to God. I'll end with this. I just finished reading the book of Esther. There's this Jewish man in the book of Esther. Really cool. I looked it up how to pronounce his name. So don't, you know. Mordecai. I don't know if that's right or wrong, but that's the way where I looked it up. Googleology, whatever. Another true story, just like Job, that I deleted from this message. But Mordecai had just come through a perilous time, yeah? And his trial was for him and ours is for ours, us, you know. But his life was at stake as well as all the Jews. And you know that story. Definite threat against his life. At the end of the book of Esther, in chapter 10, verse 3, it states this. For Mordecai the Jew was next unto King Ahasuerus. I didn't look up that one. And great among the Jews, and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth and or welfare of his people, and speaking peace to all his seed. So Mordecai is another stellar example for us to follow. Not a perfect example, but a good one. Are we known for seeking
the welfare of our people and speaking peace to all our seed. Now, I know we all fail. That's the difference between us and Jesus. Jesus never fails. But I'm talking about the general overall, you know, people think of you. And I think there's someone for my welfare and there's someone that speaks peace as a peacemaker. I have room to grow. Infinitely beyond Mordecai is Jesus Christ, who is our perfect example. Jesus never changes. He's always the same. I was going to sing that song, but I'm going to a different one in just a moment. Jesus is always seeking your welfare. He is always seeking for you to fare well spiritually and eternally. And Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is speaking peace to you in your seed. So, through the challenges and changes of our lives, our supreme motive for how to live needs to be the glory of the God of gods who never changes. And I think of Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Take your hymnal. I didn't get this to Pastor Josh in time to put it on the screen. And I was going to do Always the Same, but a song. But let's turn to 541, an older hymn. I want to talk about it. You'll see at the top it has 2 Timothy 4:1-2, so that drew my attention to it. And maybe you could play a little bit so we get a little bit familiar. But I want to read the verses here. Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of thy tone. As thou hast sought, so let me seek the erring children lost and lone. Oh, teach me, Lord, that I may teach the precious things thou dost impart, and wing my words that they may reach the hidden depths of many a heart. Oh, fill me with thy fullness, Lord, until my very heart o'erflow in kindling thought and glowing word, thy life love to tell, thy praise to show. Oh, use me, Lord, use even me, just as thou wilt and when and where, until thy blessed face I see, thy rest, thy joy, thy glory share. Could I share a testimony?